Morning, church. So we've been hearing a lot of things. Are you all still in a mode of chill, warmed up, or still chilled? How you are? Warmed up? Yes. Are you all excited to hear what God is going to speak to you all this morning? Not only to you, even to me, I believe. God is going to speak to all of us this morning. Yes? Yeah. So we've been looking at a series for the last 2-3 weeks. You all remember what is it? Yeah, the greatest gift that we have received from God, right? So it's right here. So any quick recap of the gifts that we have had last weeks? We've been doing the series for the last 2 weeks, right? Yes? So any idea, like, what are the gifts that we spoke on?
Redemption.
Redemption, perfect. And the purpose, yes, perfect. So we also seen on what's the purpose that God has given us, and the greatest gift that how God has given us with the purpose in our lives and all those stuff. Yes. So this week, it's about community. So how many of you do believe that truly it's a gift for us? How many of you believe that community is a gift that God has blessed us with? Yes. Yes. So God has really blessed us with this gift of community, but how is that being a gift to me? How is that, comes as a gift, and what do I do with this gift is what we're going to see this morning in this. So basically, before we go into a word called community, I would like to talk this word called crowd. You know, everyone hears this word crowd. Every day we see crowd. Everywhere we go, we see crowd. We see crowds every day. In all the activities that we engage, especially people who are in Mumbai, especially when we travel, we see crowd in trains, perfect. We do see crowds in trains, we do see crowds in rickshaw stands, we do see crowds in the bus stations, we do see crowds in our offices, we do see crowds in the marketplaces, we do see crowds even in our societies sometimes. Everywhere you go, there are a lot of crowds that we are associated with. But do we really indulge with every person in that crowd? Do we talk to each person, or do we know every person in each crowd? May not be possible, right? So that is where there's a differentiate between the crowd and the community comes in. It is easy to, many times confuse that I am part of a community who's traveling every day morning 7:55 train, but I'm not actually part of that community. I'm part of that crowd because I may not know that every person who is in that train is traveling with me. So crowd are pseudo communities that includes, even sometimes church becomes a crowd some places, because we may not be knowing every person in person. So again, so that means that at times even in church it becomes crowds, but it is a place where we experience the relationships and go in beyond a superficial level. Church is the place where we experience the relationships, not just at the superficial level, but we go in depth and we grow and build such a thing called community. Crowds are always drawn together the activities, so that I say, like, just we go by travel for an hour from Panvel to Kurla, Panvel to Thana, wherever we travel, just for the time of period, we accompany with that people and then we get down and then we go on for the next set of activities. But this gift which God has given us is not just a piece that is there for a time period and then it goes off. No, it is going to be with us all through the time of our life. So that is what is the beauty of this gift that God is saying. So sometimes people say, how are you doing? Like even today morning, there was a question asked at the beginning of the worship. Are you all excited? So sometimes we say the answer is, yeah, yes. And then Sandeep said, like, take 30 seconds of time. Rethink. Are you really excited? So now many times when questions are posted to us at people, we don't answer them everything what is there in our heart. But when you are connected to that person, you break down. You start speaking them. I'm not doing well because this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this has happened, this was said to me, this was said to me, this has happened to me. I tried this, I failed there. I tried this, it didn't work out for me. So whatever has happened, or even the other way around, I tried this, it became successful, and like all the people have appreciated me, all the people have encouraged me, all these things have happened to me. You would be sharing in your joy, and also you would be sharing in your sorrows as well. So that's what is actually called a community. So a few weeks back, when we stepped into this hall, November 17th, we had the time of inauguration. And then we had our wonderful community of people had a performance here. So what was the song? Tear Off the Roof. Yes. So Tear Off the Roof. So let's read from this scripture, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So it's there on the slide. Let me read it for you all. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We do not exist here for a self-actualization, or we do not exist here for a self-gratification. But rather, God created us, and God wants us to exist with a relationship with one another. God has created us for the relationship to one another. And what is this scripture we have referring here this morning is that it clearly indicates and helps us to differentiate between what does this crowd and what does this community means to us. All the people who are there in front of the home or inside the home where Jesus was preaching, there are also people who wanted to hear what Jesus is speaking. They all wanted to hear and they all wanted to get blessed. Probably there would be other people who wanted to get healed by Jesus as he is coming back to home after a long time. So the same way, there was also another set of people, 4 plus 1, who wanted to get healed. Right? So but they couldn't come in and meet Jesus because of this crowd. So you know, see this verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man that your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. Whose faith did Jesus see here? Whose faith did Jesus see here? Did he see the paralyzed man's faith? No. His friend's faith. So many times the crowds are the inhibitors for us to not allowing us or slowing us down from reaching to the place of Christ. But we don't have to be part of the crowd, but rather we wanted to be part of this community which God is wanting us to be. When I was just preparing for this, you know, few things came into my mind. Why is it so-called gift? And what do I get out of this gift? If I hold this gift which God has given unto me, so-called community, what is that going to happen to me? So, So the first thing that, you know, what we are going to talk today is that fears and vulnerabilities becomes our strength. So basically in the scripture portion which we saw, there was a man who was paralyzed, who was not able to walk. Just imagine how this person's life would have been every day. Probably I was just thinking this man in his dreams, he was thinking that he got up morning and he goes around the city, runs around the city, does all the things on his own, comes back and cooks his food, eats his food, does all his household things on his own, and then he sits back and relax, and then again in the evening go out with his friends, do a chat, sitting in the outside and coming to the marketplace, visiting the people, going to the temple, praying to God, and then coming back to his home and relaxing back. But the moment he opens his eyes, that's not what the reality is. He's a man who's paralyzed on his own mat, which he can't even take it up. He was full of fears. He was full of weakness. He was not able to do anything on his own. But that is where this greatest gift of God has given us coming into picture. When the people of God comes together, the fear of us, the things that is becoming our weakness, will get turned into our strengths. You know, many times in our lives, we might also face through trials. We may also go through troubles. There are tragedies. But God intends that we be supported, we be strengthened, encouraged, and also sometimes empowered by this community of believers. Like how these four friends were being there, that's the same way how God wants you and me to be for each of us. That is what God called us. That is what this gift, what God has given unto us. He doesn't want us to be weak, lying on the same mat for all the years. But God wanted us to be part of a community, helping our fellow brothers and sisters. Lift them up, take them forward, and move ahead in lives, and see that their weaknesses are going out. So that is what happens when we are part of this thing called community. That is exactly what God's plan as well. When we are in community, it gets added adventures into our lives. It's not just the same boring life. It's not just the same thing what we do as a regular routine, regular course. No. But what God has added in our lives, it will add adventures to our life. We would be encouraged. We would be pushed to move further into next levels. We would not be stagnant in the same place, but God wants us to move further. Especially I remember, like, you know, all the times when we go out on camps. Like for example, when we go to Nilshi, we encourage every one of us, come, let's go together for the trekking. Oh no, I'm old. Oh no, I can't walk. I've never done nothing. No, we encourage each other and we see to it that, chalo, let's all go together. Right? So that's what we need, encouragement. We need a push from each other. We see to it that all the activities that whatever we do over there, rock climbing, kayaking, swimming, what not we do there, everywhere we see that we include every one of us. We don't say that, oh, you can't do it, you can't do it. No, but we encourage people. There's a push. Yes, right? When we grew older, we don't want to sit back in just a chair and then just see that, mera sab ho chuka hai. So I don't want to be sitting back and relaxing, but I want to be a part of a encouraging community. I want to be part of a life where it adds adventures to my life. That is what God is asking us to be part of. That is what this gift God has given unto us. Not just coming and sitting in the chair, nice orthopedic chair, I'm getting good leisure, I'm sitting, I'm enjoying, I'm hearing word, and I'm going back. No, that is not what God has given us with a gift. Many times we don't realize the value of the gift that God has given unto us, unless and until we don't open it up and start utilizing it. So that is what is even here. Like, you know, he was not thrilled enough to see that he will be getting healed. But the other friends of him said that, we are going to take you, no matter how much crowd is surrounded, no much whatever is going to block me, but I'm going to climb up, tear off the roof, get you in, and ensure that Jesus heals you. And you come out walking in midst of the crowd where you are not able to go in. So that is what the kind of an adventure that this gift which God has given us is holding in. And also, this gift, when we are in this community, it gives guidance to our lives. It gives guidance to our life. The community of faith is very crucial. Because, you know, like many a times in faith, this community helps us to take directions. In faith, the community helps us to move forward. As someone has aptly said, you know, we need the community of believers because none of us is as smart as all of us. Probably, I might be smart, you might be smart, but when we both are together, that's a different level of smartness, right? So none of us can be as smart as all of us together. So when I stand alone, I don't make meaning, but when I stand together, I would be able to do greater things what God has made to me. And it also, like, you know, at the time of troubles, at the time of confusions, it's very difficult for us to stand a single person and take decisions. What should I do now? What should I look for? Where should I go for? Many times in our lives, we get stuck. We get lost because we may not be really connected with this so-called community. But this gift which God has given us is the right gift, which is what exactly we wanted in all those situations where you felt that, oh, I don't know, what should I do now? Which hospital should I take my spouse? Which hospital should I take my son? Where should I go now? Whom should I call for the help? Whom should I reach out now? Where should I look out for the answers of these questions? But all these things are coming as a package and this greatest gift that called community, which God has blessed us with. Let me ask you this question. How many people here today really know who you are? How many people here inside this hall, sitting with you, next to you, front of you, behind you, know truly who you are. Who really knows you on the inside? Who knows where you are hurt? Who knows where you are struggling in your life? Who knows where you are getting tempted? Who knows where you need prayer? Do we have the person with us in a call community? Or are we running this race all alone? There's a Christian psychologist wrote this saying, a central task of community is to create a place that is safe enough for the walls to be torn down, safe enough for each of us to reveal our brokenness. Many times we put a wall to ourselves saying that, no, I don't want to reveal myself. I don't want to share myself with anyone else. I don't want to talk about what I'm going through to anyone. And that is the major thing, reason for what we fall for. But when we are part of the community, we should be able to break these walls and we would be able to enjoy, experience this greatest gift of guidance and letting us move forward, move further, go ahead in our lives and not being stagnant or not being pulled out or not being going astray. The second question is that, who are your stretcher bearers? Like this paralyzed man had four of them, his friends, to carry him from his home to the home where Jesus was. Do I have a stretcher bearer? Who carries me? Who knows the stuff that goes in my life? Almost probably no one else knows about it. Who is so living with you in the stuff that you are praying right now? The morning when we stepped in, we made a prayer to God, probably. I don't know. But who else knows about that prayer in the community? Are we open enough to speak and experience this greatest gift that God has blessed us with? Or are we restricting ourselves and doing a superficial layer saying that, I am also being part of this community, but where I am actually not being? What is my stand this morning? When we are truly part of the community, we are able to experience all these things. Whatever is our weakness, that gets broken out. And that in turn turns out to be our strength. We get adventures in our life. We don't get bored. We don't get feel that I'm not able to do anything. We don't able to feel that I don't have clue. I don't have answers. I don't know what to do. Because we would have the guidance, the right directions by the godly people when we are surrounded by this community. Are we still having that wall? Are we ready to break that wall and experience this greatest gift that God has given us this morning? As we continue, how can we not talk about this particular scripture portion when we are talking more of community? This is where the aspect of the church and everything have come into picture. You know, Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. That's where it started all. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The book of Acts, it provides us, the history of the early church. It easily pictures us. Luke actually puts us in everything in place and lets us know, visualize how everything has happened. How we established all these stuffs. He says here, right, they had everything in common. And they've been gathering once in a week, once in a month. How often were they gathering in the days? Every day. Thank you, every day. When we were a few minutes back, when we were looking at our announcements, I was so amazed to see that, almost all the days of our week, we had something or the other happening this week at least. But almost every week, we had at least two connects, right? Wednesdays and Fridays. Every week at least there will be two connects, but this week we have additionally some more added to it. But the thing is that, are we meeting only Sunday to Sunday? Or are we ready to get connected to this community in depth, in detail, so that we would be able to enjoy and experience the fruit of this wonderful gift that God has given unto us? You know, among all these essential aspects which he is talking about here, one thing that he is highlighting is that, you know, the fellowship. And it's a term, Greek term called koinonia. Koinonia, which is translated into English as fellowship or community. You know, this fellowship is what early church demonstrated. They wanted to be part of, not just restricting themselves, just coming, being there, listening to what apostles doing or talking, and just witnessing the miracles that happens around and then go back. No, they had everything in common. They were all open up. They were all able to, you know, do things. You know, like even today, that's what exactly God is asking us to be. But legally saying, a church might look or incorporate as an organization and needs to be managed, you know, as an organization. But it is important to note, that the church, according to scripture, it is an organism. It's not just an organization. It's an organism that is built with each interdependent parts. That is you and me. We all come together and we are the body of Christ. That is what is actually the church, the community means. It's not just a one-man show. It's not just a group of people running it. But each and every person of us coming together is what makes a full body. Without that, it's not possible for a church to operate to the fullest. Without each part being supportive, the body cannot move from one place to another. Every part has to come together, associate with each other, and work together with oneness. That is will help the church to function. That is what will help the church to operate and move ahead. So when we say that I wanted to be a part of this community, what does this involves in me? The gift God has given unto me, and I'm blessed with all those things that we spoke in the earlier slides. You know, but what is that God wants me to be, take part in this community? For me to be involved in this community, I should be having this intentionality. You know, Acts 2:42, it said, they continually, they steadfastly devoted themselves, committed themselves, you know, persevered every day in listening to what the apostles have said and preached. They understood it, they learned it, they walked in it, they came together, they had this fellowship, and they've been intentionally coming forward to hear from what is being happening over there. There was this intense sense of togetherness among of all those who have believed. So there was always this intense sense of togetherness. Let's be together. Let's be together. We can feel that, you know, the togetherness whenever we read the scripture portions of the early churches. It's not just a gathering, but we see that there was this intense sense of togetherness being always been there. Intentional meaning, refusing to simply go through the emotions. Intentions meaning that I'm not just go by my emotions. No, I will do everything with an intentional purpose. So we should know, why are we doing what are we doing? Why are we doing what we are doing? Whatever we do, we should know why we are doing all these things. So that's what it says. Why are we doing what we are doing? So unless and until I don't do it with an intention, I just do it just because someone else have asked me to do it. And the next day when the person doesn't say it, I won't be doing it. But when it is an intentionally doing it, that this is what God has asked me to do and this is what I would be doing, so I would know the reason behind why am I doing it, why am I being part of this community. For most of us, or like not, I'm not pointing to any of us right here, but I'm just saying in general, so it's a mentality of people in general that, you know, going to church or coming to a midweek or coming to a prayer meet or coming to any other gathering that happens in a church is a matter of convenience. If I am convenient enough to come, only then I would be able to come. But what God intends is that It's a matter of commitment. What God intends is that a matter of commitment when we come together as a brothers in Christ. He expects us a commitment not based on our convenience. Today I am free, so let me go. Tomorrow I am not, I won't be there because I will do something else. Last week I went, so this week let me do something else. So I take this as, you know, as a choice or as a preference and see that I will be able to do something else. No, but God, what is expecting is a commitment. It is said that, you know, there was a president in US long back. His name is Theodore Roosevelt. He made a commitment to attend a church every Sunday, even before he became a president. He was one of the youngest president, if I'm not wrong. So he made a commitment saying that every Sunday I will be there in church, no matter what happens. So, and he continued it all his years, even though he was a president in Washington. So in the entire USA, he was there in Washington attending a church every Sundays. And he personally writes a letter to the pastor of the church mentioning that he is out of town, he is traveling, and he will not be able to part of that service that Sunday morning. Explaining his absence, even though he being a president of the United States of America. You know, like many times we feel that I'm so busy, I'm so occupied. I don't have time for this community, I don't have time for this fellowship. We are so much of occupied with a lot of other things, missing on the focus of what God has blessed us with. I agree that everyone has the busy schedule, but it should include a priority to your schedule. Do I have priorities in my schedule? It seems that many people feel it quite acceptable simply to watch a church service just over online. And we do also have this provision of having the audio getting uploaded. That does not mean that you can be relaxing at home and later in the evening I will just listen to the Sunday sermon over online. You know, like during the time of COVID where we were not able to connect physically is where we had this provision of having this online service. But most of the time, even after so many years where we started doing all the things back physical, but coming to church is still being a little bit of, you know, people being reluctant, or they convenient more with a service where it happens over online. Sometimes people say that, you know, church, why do I have to go to a church? Or why do I have to be part of a community? I can just talk about God, or I can just listen to some podcast, I can just listen to some video, some sermons on the online, some books which has been written, and from there I will learn about God. It's not just about knowing God. It's walking in God will happen when you and I are part of this community. Walking in God will be able to be feasible practically when we are part of the community. Knowing God may be possible when I sit alone reading the Bible, or like, you know, reading the what are the books that has been written and all those stuff. But if I have to walk with God, then I need to be part of the community in my daily life, who can encourage me, who can tag me along, who can pull me along, and who can walk me through the challenges that I have. You know, that's what in Hebrews also it says, chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So he clearly insists to the people of Hebrews that, not forgetting to gather as a community, since we might have that intention of already forgotten. So do I have the intention, or is it happening even to me that I forgot, oh, it's a Sunday. Oh, I forgot that it's a Wednesday that we had a prayer meet. Oh, I forgot that it's a Friday that where I'm supposed to go to a study for a connect, for a group study. What is happening in my life? If we are in that line of saying that sometimes I forget, God is reminding us this morning that do not forget, do not give up on meeting together. Let's come together. And if you feel that some of us are in that phase, it's time for us to encourage them and say that, come and join. Let's walk together. So that's what the community is. It's not just me being alone, doing things and taking initiatives, but it is my fellow brother and sister sitting next to me is also pushing me and pulling me and taking me along in the journey. So that is what it is, intentionality. I should have this intention in my mind that I am part of this community and I will be there wherever this community is happening. With that note, I will also like to remind that we are meeting today evening at Varayan Mall, right? So this community is going to meet together again in the evening. It's happening. So do I be part of it? Oh, I am not going to play any instrument. That's some other people going to play. What is my role going to be there? Being together, just standing together, encouraging them. So that's what exactly the word community means to us. An intense sense of being together. It also says that in Acts chapter 2, the scripture which we read, now 44 and 46, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So everywhere we see this intense sense of togetherness where they had been all coming together, there is also this sense of unity. Maybe we would have difference of opinions. It's not that everyone will think alike, but we have to come together to one point, to one statement where each of us agreeing, saying that yes, we as a community, this is what we are going to do. This is what we would be doing. This is what we would be exercising in our daily lives. So that unity is what involves when we part of the community. You know, in Acts chapter 4 verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Everyone who believed, they were all coming together. There was a multitude of people, but they were all in one heart and in one soul. Even this morning when we are together, wherever, anytime when we come together, we should be having this one heart, one soul, thinking on one aspect, talking together with that one note, saying that what we are doing. Not just thinking around with our own minds, with our own thoughts. You know, as I said, you know, the purpose of the community is, you know, coming together and sharing a shared life, not living our own life of my own, of my individual, but coming together and living this shared life. It means sharing the common of experience of our joys, of our fears, of our tears, and even in fact, the divine glory. In fact, even our blessings that we had, we received from God. You know, many times we see that it is not possible by me, it is not possible by me. But when I was sitting with this brother, he encouraged me and I did this and I was able to do it and accomplish it. Now many stories have been there where we would have heard in a community. So it's what exactly it means. It's when we come together in that one unity, that is where, you know, it will able to take us move forward. How many of you have an experience of flying in a flight or just watching the flight taking over or landing off? Most of us, yes, most of us had in-flight experience. Some of us might have had a, you know, watching experience of how the flight takes off. But you know what? It is, the flight is made up of materials, 100% which is non-flying materials. The flight, an aircraft, is made up of materials which is 100% not eligible to fly. But when it is brought together, working together, it lifts 150 plus tons of weight. That's Boeing 767 airliner. It says its weight when people are loaded, it's 150 plus tons. And it moves to an altitude of 35,000 plus feet on the height and at the speed of 800 plus kilometers per hour. It's possible for 100% non-flying parts to fly in the air when it comes together and function together. So that's the beauty of being together as a community in unity. Not just being together, but being together in unity, working together for the one goal, one mission, will help us to move forward and fly high, just like this Boeing 767. It also involves missionality. Probably you may not get this word in the dictionary, but just to, you know, put it in that fashion, I had this. No, the intention is to missional. The community provides the opportunity for ministry. You know, when we come together, we get the opportunity to be a missionary, to pray for one another, to go and visit people, to go and greet people, to go and talk to people. And, you know, the authentic community gives this opportunity to different in different perspectives, even especially our church, RHC, Renewed Hope Community, gives a various ways for us to minister among people, to minister among the community, to minister among the society, to minister to the city where we are placed. So when I say that I am part of this community, I should be missional. Where I would be always keep on finding a ways, how can I be a help? Even Jesus sent his disciples on missions. He said that, as my Father has sent me, even so now I am sending you. At the early churches, Acts, what were the chapters we read, we could see a lot of missionary stories over there where people started traveling from one city to another city, and they have been backed up, supported by the people from behind the screens. From a different church, they've been supporting them. From other places, people have traveled along with them, encouraging them in the times of difficulties, in the time of their weakness, in the times of their struggles. There's been a backbone, a lot of people. And that is where the beauty of the gospel has been able to move around the cities and reach out to everyone. What they did was fulfilling the great commission which God has given to us. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's what they started doing together with an intentional of completing, fulfilling this great commission, what God has given unto them. Coming together with an intention, with an unity, with a focus of missional, we would be able to do greater things for what God has called us. We are not just called to be sitting in rows and then go back. But God has called us to form circles, to connect, to commune, to convey, to carry, to cheer, to cherish, to rejoice, and to be together. That is what God has called us together to be part of this community. So when we have received this gift of community, we are so blessed, and God is now expecting in turn these things from us. I also wanted to be involved in this community with my fullest, having an intention, and I will work in unity. And I will work with this focus of missional. You know what? When I was just preparing for this, and I was also going through different, you know, resources online, I just came across something. In New Testament, a lot of epistles and all the things which has been written to the different churches and different peoples around the globe in those times, talks a lot of things about one another. You know, you'd be surprised. I was surprised. It says, serve one another, accept one another, strengthen one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another, forgive one another, submit one another, commit to one another, build trust with one another, be devoted to one another, be patient with one another, be interested in one another, accountable to one another, confess to one another, live in harmony with one another, don't be conceited with one another, don't pass judgment on one another, don't slander one another, instruct one another, greet one another, admonish one another, spur one another, meet with one another, agree with one another, concern with one another, humble with one another, be of the same mind with one another, compassionate with one another, do not be consumed with one another, and the list continues. Not be angry with one another, do not lie to one another, live at peace with one another, do not grumble with one another, give preference to one another, be at peace with one another, sing to one another, comfort one another, be kind to one another, carry one another's burdens, love one another. So do you really think that it is possible to do all these things in just 2 hours on Sunday morning? Definitely no. Right? Definitely no. Not just coming on Sunday and Sunday, being here for 2 hours and going back doesn't make me sense of what the scripture is talking to me. God has called you and me and given this greatest gift, community. How effectively am I using it? Am I using it or just keeping it in a showcase and just looking at it, oh, I'm being part of this wonderful community. When I need, I just take it and then I put it back. What is this, my utilization of this gift God has blessed me with. When I was preparing, I just came across this one incident, right? You know, it happened in US. There was a pastor named Yuan. And as like in all the other pastors, he was preparing for a sermon to be given on a Sunday. And the topic was love one another. So he went through a lot of references. He was, you know, spending hours of hours in prayers, asking God, God, what should I speak to the church? What should I do? What should I do? And he went on through multiple resources, looking here and there for illustrations and all the stuffs that a preacher tries to fit into his sermon to, so that it goes and reaches the people. So he did a great research and came up with all this material, and the day of Sunday has come. The Sunday service began with a wonderful, beautiful, amazing worship. People sang together, rejoiced, glorified, exalted, and they were all excited to hear what's going to speak to us this morning. So when the time has come, the preacher was walking from his seat to the podium to deliver the word of God. As he was walking, he heard in his spirit a voice saying that, how many times have you preached this sermon in this church? He just took a pause, and then he thought, probably 10 or 12, a dozen times. Did it make any good impact? He just took. By the time he came to the stage, he was frozen. He was not able to open up his mouth. He was just to. The church was confused, not knowing what happened to him. He just lifted the mic and he just said, love one another. And he went back to his seat. People were also confused. Is he okay? Is everything fine? What happened? They were looking at each other, not knowing what is going on. And again he stood up. He came to the stage, said again, love one another. There's no other words. Third time, again he picked up the mic and he said with a loving voice, church, love one another. At this time, one of the members from the congregation, he stood up and he said, I think I understand what pastor is trying to say. How can I love someone if I don't even know the name of the person who's sitting behind me? He turned back and he introduced himself and started speaking him. And there was another person stood up on the congregation and he said, I think I understood what pastor is trying to preach. How can I love when I have a grudge against Carlos? Carlos, I'm coming to you. So he went right to the other person, and then he reconciled. He asked for forgiveness, and then he said, I'm sorry. And then they started having fellowship together. And that's where the floodgate opened. The whole church started circling around, making connects, talking to each other, trying to know each other, and understanding what is happening. On that fine Sunday, there was a husband and wife who have come to the church, who is from a different city. They have traveled to this particular city for their daughter's medical treatment, but they were there without money to turn back to their home. So they were clueless and they were just walking by and stopped by in the church service. And during this connect, one of them had booked them the bus ticket and ensured that they reached back home safely. And there was this young man in this church on that Sunday morning, desperately looking for a job. And the fellow brother helped him, guided him to a businessman who was looking for someone to get hired. And this man has been hired and he got a job. As all these things were happening, the pastor on the stage, in his tears, praying and thanking God by looking at one of the wonderful sermons that he has delivered. God works. And he said that the church has never been the same before. The church has never been same the before.
Changes everything. best moments and our worst, between our finest hours and our lowest points. Between two Sundays, we discover that we're always better together.
Basically, the video talked about church coming together. It's not just Sunday after Sunday, greeting and leaving. But between two Sundays, what happens is what really truly a church meant to us. Coming together is just a beginning. But keeping together changes everything. The Bible teaches us that this God-given wonderful gift has never been just incidental. You and I sitting here is not just an accident. It's not just some random incident that has happened. But it is the very reason why Christ has brought the church into being. As together, we are here to seek to know what the Lord requires of us. Christ did not bring his church into being in the hope that it might incidentally have some sort of good effect. But instead, he raised, he commissioned and equipped his church for a very definite, powerful, ongoing and life-giving reason to be a witness and to undertake this Christ-like spiritual ministries in and around the world. Coming together is just a beginning. Keeping together changes everything. I know this picture of us recently went to a camp. And I know each of us who are there in this picture have something or the other to say that there is an impact made when we came together for this connect. So that's what the beauty of coming together. That's what the beauty of being part of the community which God has asked us to be. Not just sitting here for the speculated time and going back. No, that's not what God has called you and I to be. He has called us to be part of this wonderful community. Enjoy, experience Him, learn Him, know Him, and walk in Him along with one another. Along with one another. As we read a lot of things, what is my response this morning to this greatest gift? The community that God has blessed me with. I request